We are broadcasting live from 7 Acre Dairy Company in Paoli today. Thanks to those in the audience and to those of you who are listening in and for joining us today. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today. I don't think there's much more that's more Wisconsin than cheese. And next up, we have two people involved in the cheese-making process, each in their own way. First, we have Nick Make. Nick is the Chief Restoration Officer for 7 Acre Dairy Company. Nick, nice to have you join us.
Thanks, Larry.
And also with us, Anna Landmark. Anna is co-owner and head cheesemaker for Landmark Creamery. And Anna, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So we're going to talk with them about their businesses and learn maybe a little bit more about cheese making. And Nick, I want to start with you. This 7 Acre Dairy Company is such a fantastic facility. It's almost beyond description. I believe it's listed in the National Register for Historic Places.
Yeah.
But you have done a lot to this. So just describe the place for us.
So this is the old Paoli Cooperative Dairy Plant. So it was originally built in 1888 by 7 local farmers. And then over the course of the 20th century, kind of grew to one of Wisconsin's largest, most diversified dairy factories. So where we're sitting right now doing this interview is the old Drum Swiss production facility. If you look really closely at the floor, you can see where the old wheels were made. We also had a butter making facility here, and we also was one of the first places to process fluid milk for consumption to Chicago marketplaces. And so it had a really profound relationship to Wisconsin's dairy history. In 1980, it ended up closing, became an art gallery for a little bit, and the former owners of that gallery are here, which is really cool. And when we bought it 2 years ago, we really wanted to restore it back to its dairy days, and we did so through not only setting up a cute little farm-to-table restaurant and a cafe and a boutique hotel and event space, but one of the big things we wanted to do was return dairy production to this building, and that's when we called Anna Landmark and her partner, Anna Thomas Bates, and said, we know nothing about dairy production. Can you help us? And they did, and so now we're making soft-serve ice cream and butter in a facility that's been making dairy products here along the Sugar River in Paoli for 135 years.
Yeah, it's a fantastic place. Anna, let's get to you here. How did Landmark Creamery come about?
So my business partner and I kind of founded the company in 2014. I had been apprenticing at Cedar Grove Cheese up in Spring Green and working on my cheesemaker license at that point. And one of the unique things about Cedar Grove at that point is they were one of the few cheese plants in the state that was processing sheep milk cheese. And that was kind of my interest. And so I was able to apprentice making sheep milk cheeses. And we started, that was our first line of cheese when we got started, was sheep milk. And so that's kind of become our specialty. We're one of probably just 5 plants in this state that does sheep milk cheeses. A few will make occasional batches here and there, but we're one of the few places that processes on a regular basis. So we're actually still renting space at Cedar Grove to make our cheese. We've been up there for about 9 years now, but we've got a great relationship with a sheep dairy down in Judah, and have been making cheeses with their milk now for the last couple years.
And a relationship here.
Yeah, so when Nick approached us about processing here in this facility, we were initially thinking, well, maybe we could make cheese here. But the size constraints kind of pretty quickly became obvious with bringing milk trucks and stuff in and everything. It wasn't going to work. So we decided to explore a new product for us, which is butter. And we were able to have some conversations with DACAP to kind of figure out the rules and how we could bring in cans of cream here. And so we got a little churn and a little pasteurizer. And so we're doing small batches of barrel churned butter here.
And this is not the kind of butter I buy in the grocery store.
It is not.
Definitely not.
No,
this is not butter.
Every batch is a little unique because we pick up cream from some area cheese plants. We've been getting sweet cream from Edelweiss Creamery down in Monticello. We've gotten whey cream from Bull Cedar Grove and also Chalet Creamery. And so, you know, all of the milk that comes into those plants is a little unique, right? They all have their local dairies that they get milk from. Their processing is a little unique. Whey cream in particular is the cream that comes out of the whey after cheese making. So there's a little bit of a cheese flavor in those. And so every batch is a little different. You know, the amount of butterfat that we get in the cream is a little different each time. And I think it just adds, you know, it's kind of like what butter used to taste like.
Yeah, I certainly would agree with that. Somebody else is wondering about the cheeses, the sheep cheeses. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you make a Swiss cheese out of sheep cheese or out of sheep milk? Or
No, we don't make a Swiss cheese. I don't know that you could with sheep milk because the protein's a lot different. But we do make some other French and Spanish styles. So France and Spain probably have the most sheep and have the most variety in sheep cheeses. So we kind of model our cheeses after some of those.
And Nick, back to you for a minute, because I want to tell you first, I had the cheese quiche for breakfast mm-hmm. this morning, and it was delicious. Talk a bit about the kinds of foods.
Yeah, so we're here, we kind of like to think of ourselves as modeling a lot of the foods here that were kind of here of the historic era. And when you came in, you ordered our quiche, which is actually a Swiss cheese pie. So Swiss cheese pie was really an important staple food kind of in this region in Paoli down to Monroe and in Swiss areas of Wisconsin. And what's really cool about our Swiss cheese pie here that we call quiche is that it's actually from the recipe from the cheesemaker's wife in the 1940s and 1950s. We stumbled upon the recipe in an old Verona cookbook. And we're like, Mrs. Otto Tallman, oh my gosh, you know, Otto was our cheesemaker from the 30s to the 50s. And so that's one of those cool little connections to history and place that we try to celebrate here at 7 Acre Dairy Company. And we think it's a really wonderful Swiss cheese pie. When we called it Swiss cheese pie, no one bought it. So we just had to, because no one knew what it was, so we started calling it quiche, and everybody loved it. And that's made with Deppler's cheese, which is a product out of Chalet, a co-op down in between Monticello and Monroe. And it's actually the Swiss cheese that is currently made in Wisconsin that's most like the drum Swiss that was made here in our factory in the 30s, 40s, and 50s.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Well, and it's sort of an informal breakfast kind of situation that you have. I also had one of those sweet rolls. Oh, my goodness. I don't know who makes those. But
yeah, somebody gets up at 4 a.m. and bakes every morning here. So,
And then I also wanted to mention the dinners. And I had planned, actually, to stay here overnight last night. But I waited, when I announced the show was going to be here, suddenly all the rooms were gone. I don't know if it was a result of that or something else, but, and I'm sure you're busy here with what, eight
yeah,
suites?
We only have 8 rooms, and I felt really bad because I took the call when Larry called and said, "Ooh, we don't have anything anymore," but the rooms are doing really well. We have people from all over both Wisconsin, but the country, who are incredibly interested in Wisconsin's dairy past and Wisconsin's dairy present and what we like to think of as Wisconsin's dairy future here. And for them to be able to come and stay in a room that used to be where the old cream tank was in the factory or where the old milk truck pulled into their garage is, I don't know, it's definitely been a draw, and the end part of this business has seen a profound amount of interest, and not just from locals and people regionally, but we have New York, Florida, Colorado, all here this week, So that's wonderful. A pretty cool and remarkable thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, and then just tell me about your evening dinners, because I haven't seen the menu.
Yeah, so I mean, we have a cafe that's open every day from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and that's kind of our casual concept. But then Wednesday through Saturday night, we open up our more formal, we like to call it fine farmstead dining. And we source vegetables, meats, and cheeses, and dairy, oftentimes from just a few miles down the road, including a good amount of our vegetables, dairy, and meat from farms that are literally our neighbors. And it's kind of cool to lord that over Madisonians who drive 10 miles here, and for us to say your food drove a lot less miles than you guys took to get here. So it's a really fun restaurant. The food is great, and it's really a celebration of local agriculture and our farming heritage here in southern Wisconsin.
Anna, talk a bit more about your Landmark Creamery. I'd also be interested in the, so you are now a certified cheesemaker.
Yes, I am a licensed cheesemaker. I'm also a licensed buttermaker.
And what's that process like?
So both of those processes require some apprenticing time. So you actually have to have some hands-on experience making cheese and making butter. And then it's some coursework. And honestly, knowing a lot of the science and the cleaning and sanitation behind, running and working in a dairy plant. So I had to understand all the nuances of pasteurization, as well as cleaning and sanitizing and all of the other kind of rules around dairy plant operations. So you study all of that, you get your apprentice hours done, take some classes if you are able to through the Center for Dairy Research at the UW, and then you have to pass a test. So you sit down and actually take a written test for both cheese making and butter making. And once you've got that, if you pass, then you've got your license.
Yeah, at Center for Dairy Research, those classes are really, from my knowledge, are really good classes.
They are. They're really useful classes. They really make sure that they're teaching exactly what you need to know, both for, operating equipment, but then also the science behind everything.
Is there a marketing aspect to this? Once you're done, you've got Landmark Creamery, and you're making cheese.
Yeah, it's really fun to be able to tell the story, and I think, we're making stuff, we're making small batches, and we're very hands-on, and that makes the cost of making these products a lot more expensive, too. But we can tell the story, we can show people how we're making it, we can talk about where milk and where the cream's coming from and how that relates to, coming from the farm, running through the dairy plant, and how we end up with the whey cream. It kind of gives a fuller picture of what the dairy industry is like and what we're trying to protect.
I was just thinking, I was wondering if you, are there contests and so forth that you can enter with your cheeses?
We do. We enter both the U.S. Cheese Championship and the World Championship, which are held here in Wisconsin on alternating years. And we've been successful in both. Our cheeses have won some gold medals in those. And then there's also the American Cheese Society contest. And we've been winners for that, too. So we're excited to enter the butter next year. We haven't had a chance to do that yet.
You know, I've talked to others about this, but I'd be interested in your comments. What do you learn from entering a contest or a contest like that?
So we usually get written feedback from the judges, which is really helpful, because then I can go and see exactly what the good and the bad things were about the cheese. Like some of the comments from the last round where it needs a little bit more salt and the rinds were a little too thick. So I can take that and I can go back and I can adjust the humidity in my cheese caves so that my rinds end up a little thinner. And it also helps us on the marketing side, right? We can say we make award-winning cheeses, and that makes it more appealing for customers.
On your side, when it comes to marketing, Nick, and you have a long history, by the way. You and I go back a ways. Mm-hmm. When you were with another when you owned another business.
Yeah, when I was with, I was one of the co-founders of Sitka Salmon Chairs, which is a pretty large direct-to-consumer seafood company now. And I've spent most of my career in food business and food policy before Sitka. I was in Indiana doing healthy food access. So being able to see, one of the neat things about working in this in the last 20 years, especially in marketing, is to see how much people have embraced local food and how much people have begun to embrace the importance of buying from local farmers, establishing market connections between those who are growing their food and those who are and people eating their food, and how much that can enrich everybody's lives. And when I first started doing this 20 years ago, I think that was like a little bit more of a fringe concept, right? Or like certainly like on the sidelines.
Sure.
And now how that's kind of become a much more widely adopted idea. And what we're sort of doing here in Paoli is a neat little experiment around the relationship between, I guess, what I would call like hyper-local food, which is just buying from a very select few number of very local farmers, and kind of to create a little mini food system around that. And what can that do for community here in Paoli? What can that do for tourism here in Paoli? What can that do for 7 Acre Dairy Company and having people now travel all over from all across the country to visit here specifically to eat the food and to try the dairy and to see a place where not only they can sleep in an old dairy factory that was once one of the largest butter factories in the state of Wisconsin, but then get up in the morning and grab a cup of coffee and watch Anna make butter in what is now the smallest dairy factory in the state of Wisconsin, kind of full circle, and that to me is really rewarding and has been probably the most fun part of this project. But on some level, it is all marketing and telling your story. But this is a story that is incredibly compelling because dairy is so central to us here in Wisconsin and has been so central to us in Wisconsin. And to have a dairy plant that's incredibly well preserved from the mid 20th century, from this golden age of Wisconsin dairy, and to have people be able to visit it and see it and smell it and look at the tile and look at the floor and look at the walls and have it be in use again and have it be a new part of the community is something that almost sells itself.
Yeah. And you enhanced that a lot with the old photos. I mean, they're talk about that.
Yeah, this is such a celebration of Wisconsin's dairy history. There are a few places in here that are a little museum-like, because when we wrote the National Register nomination, we captured and collected so many little stories and tidbits that we just wanted to share with the public. And by sharing those stories with the public and these photos of workers, Swiss immigrants making cheese in this factory in the 1940s, or having the butter license of one of our butter makers here in the 50s and 60s, or the photographs of these men who are all like, you know, the most... what you had to do to lift 300 and 400 pounds of wheels of Swiss, like, made you very fit and quite good looking. And to have them on display here too, that's such a wonderful connection with place. It's such a wonderful connection with history, and why we think this place has sort of a timeless, durable feel. And you know what Danica, my wife, and I really wanted to do was to say, you know, we close our eyes, there's probably only a couple dozen of these 20th century Wisconsin cheese plants left, and by 2200 this might be one of the few.
Yeah.
And to be able to hand that down to future generations of Wisconsinites who want to be able to understand our history and understand our past and also be able to connect with it in the present is something that's really important to us here at 7 Acre.
Yeah, it's such a wonderful place. I can tell you, I came over unannounced on Saturday, this past Saturday, and wandered through the building because I wanted to see everything, you know, for kind of for the first time. I had myself some of that ice cream that you make here, the freeze, and then I walked out on the porch you'd call it a porch, I think. I looked down at the Sugar River, which is kind of meandering down below, and then I heard music, some live music from across the creek. at another establishment, and I thought, what better? I mean, it was sort of, as you say, it was a kind of an ideal place to be.
Pale Eye is an exceptional reflection of the nature, you know, and culture of what we really value here in Wisconsin, and it's a really beautiful little community that obviously now has kind of been discovered in the last few years. Rightfully so.
Well, and thank you for doing it, you and your wife, and Nick Mink, our guest today, and Anna Landmark, co-owner and head cheesemaker for Landmark Creamery, excuse me, with a great relationship that has been formed between Nick and Anna with her business. And it's such a pleasure to be able to talk with you today. So thank you both very much for spending a few minutes with us today. This is always a lot of fun for me, as I think I said earlier, to be out and for our whole staff, our whole WPR staff, to put on a show live from someplace other than our studio, where I'm often just sitting there all by myself talking to somebody on Google Meet. It's so nice to be able to talk to people in person and to see so many wonderful listeners. And I just some quick thanks, Nick Mink and the staff at 7 Acre Dairy Company, Mary Wimmer and Anna Landmark, of course, our event manager, Kaylee Glasscock, our executive producer, of course, Jill Nadeau, our producer's call screener, Clara Neipert, engineers Tom Blaine here with us, and Sarah Hopeful back in the studios. We've got Tim Brown, Sam Hack, Judith Heise, Terry Hoberg McCarthy, and Lisa Carnes, and our WPR director, Sarah Ashworth. Thank you all for being with us.